On the first Sunday of this month, I talked to you about marriage, God's way. It was my privilege to present the names of 20 couples here in this church who have been married for 50 years or more. I think that number alone is outstanding. I think the fact that we have that many who have been married for 50 years should be a point of pride. We should hold those people up, give them their honor that is due them from us, and also see them as examples. I hear constantly in this world today about how God's plan for marriage is antiquated. It's just not going to work. Judy and I had on television Friday night, and I heard a despondent young woman say, "This dream of happy ever after just doesn't work anymore." Oh, yes, it does. It does in the Lord's church. It does right here at Western Heights. And in addition to those 20 couples, there are a host of others who have, in a most commendable number of years, enough to be held up as examples. And there are several of you who had in over 50 years whose mates are now deceased. You too could be held up as examples. I want us to focus on marriage, make it long, make it good. In fact, I went on to talk at that point about some basic ideas that I picked up from different places. 12 ideas on how to make your marriage long and healthy. Some marriages are broken in the courts, some in the heart. Neither one's what God wants. 12 ideas for long, healthy marriages. You receive those. Well, I put them out in print on the credenza in the foyer, and they were all taken, so I printed some more of them. They're out there today. Then last Sunday, we looked at husbands and their roles and what God says about husbands. I believe that the husband's responsibility, as it's outlined before God, is very heavy. If we take it the way God said it, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Ooh, to that extent? You realize how demanding that is? Do you realize what kind of sacrifice that calls for? Obviously, that's going to call for our very best. And that's what makes marriage so good. When we give our very best. Came up with 7 ideas of what that looks like on a very practical daily basis. Those are printed out there on the foyer. I promised you last Sunday that we'd return to marriage today and look at the wife side and look at what God says. Last week, as we looked at that passage from Ephesians chapter 5, which says, "Husbands, love your wives," we actually started back at the beginning of the paragraph, back in verse 22. Verses 22 through 24 talk about the wife. "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord." As to the Lord? Wow. "For the husband is head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior." Now, as the church submits to Christ, so wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Wife has some pretty heavy responsibilities, too. I said that the husband's responsibility is very heavy if he takes seriously love as Christ loved the church. It looks like to me this wife's responsibility is pretty heavy too. In fact, I'm going to be asking today, particularly down at the end of our study, how difficult is this matter of submission in any arena? How difficult is it to submit? That's not the American way, is it? My rights. Me. I want it all. Isn't that America today? How difficult is it to submit? Now, just before we begin to try to look at this in terms of a practical daily application, I think we need to back up. We need to include verse 21, submit to one another. He's talking to the whole church. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. In fact, I want you to try to get the entire context here with me. He's just been talking throughout this Ephesians chapter 5 about how the church is to relate to one another. Verse 19 is familiar to many of us. "Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always to God the Father through him for everything." Submit to one another. See how it flows? Look after one another. Encourage one another. The speaking to one another, the giving thanks, we do pretty well with. And then we come to verse 21, "And I'm to submit to you? Your thoughts above my thoughts, your wishes above my wishes?" Does it not challenge us? Now, add one additional thought here as we go into the wives part of this passage. The verb submit is not in verse 22. It's understood. And the significance of that grammatical statement is, if you separate verse 22 from verse 21, verse 22 doesn't make any sense. Wives to your husbands. Wives to your husbands what? Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And wives, here's an area of application. You submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Several years ago, I was in correspondence with a man. I was living in Louisiana at the time. He was a state legislator. I mentioned this passage to him, and he wrote back, "Oh, Paul was a cranky old bachelor who had been spurned by a young love early in his life, and he had it in for women." Okay. I wrote back, "But Peter was married, and Peter said the same thing." We could study either passage today. I've chosen to focus more on Peter, but our focus is not so much on a passage as on a word. In this passage, it is "be submissive" in the NIV. And I'm going to lay out different translations. One of my favorite ways to study is to look at various translators and see how they represented a Greek word or thought, and see if adding different translations makes it come alive a little bit. You've already heard this read from the NIV. I want to walk through it quickly. Wives, be in submission, or be submissive to your husbands. And then he talks about some that won't be won by teaching, but will be won by example. And you can move from husbands to all of us. There are people who simply will not listen as you try to teach them verbally, but they watch us. And that's the reason that it's so important to be a Christian example in the business community, in school, in our homes. Everywhere we go, we are being watched. That's the Lord's plan. Because some will be won only as they see godly lives. I think that is especially true when you've got that non-Christian husband and that Christian wife has that beautiful, quiet spirit, that reverence. Before we leave this slide, I want to notice with you the last part of it down at verse 3 there. Your beauty should not come from the outward adornment. That's what sets you apart, what makes you special. Such as the braiding of hair and the wearing of fine clothes and jewels. One day, while I was at airline, a man called. He was unhappy. He was coming unglued. He had come in and found his older daughter braiding the hair of his younger daughter. And he said, "Oh, it's wrong." He called me. "The scripture says don't braid hair, doesn't it?" "No. It says don't let that be the point of your beauty. It isn't how pretty your hair is, how pretty your clothes are, or how pretty those new earrings are. It's something else. It is the inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight." His sight's what counts. And then notice, once again, down in verse 5, we're going to come to this matter of the word that we're studying. These holy women of the past who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful, they were submissive. There's the word. They were submissive to their own husbands. Sarah even called Abraham master. Judy never has called me master. I told her one time I didn't want her to, and she said, "You don't have anything to worry about." Let's try a different translation and a different word and see if it'll make it come alive. The New Century Version. Judy and I were talking about this one this morning at breakfast. I believe it's only about 15 years old. In the same way, you wives should yield to your husbands. How do you like that? Should yield to your husbands. The rest of those three verses read about the same. Go on down to, once again, where it's used in verse 5. These holy women of old were yielding to their husbands. And Sarah called Abraham master. How about the old reliable King James? "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection." Be in subjection? Ouch. That one sounds heavy. Subjection. I don't know about that. I would struggle with that word. Go on down to where he comes to it again in verse 5, and once again, it is subjection. Subjection to their own husband. And this time, Sarah called Abraham Lord. One more. My dad liked the J.B. Phillips translation. In the same way you married women should adapt yourselves to your husbands. How do you like that word? Adapt yourselves. Does he form to you or you to him? Adapt. Okay, here are our words. Be in subjection, King James. Submit, the NIV and Ephesians 5 and maybe in other passages. Be submissive. Adapt yourselves, says Phillips. Yield is new century. Those words aren't hard to understand. You can take a dictionary and define them. It's not difficult to understand the words. What does it look like on a daily basis? I believe God's women try to do what God said. What are you doing with this? What's it look like? I would point out, Sarah called Abraham master or Lord. I also remember Genesis chapter 21 where Hagar had had Ishmael. Sarah had had Isaac. Ishmael was picking on Isaac. Sarah got quite upset about that and she went to Abraham and said, I want you to send that slave woman and her child away. Abraham didn't think that was the right thing to do. He went to the Lord. You know what the Lord told him? You do what your wife said. You listen to your wife. I would also think of with you of Proverbs chapter 31 where there is a worthy woman. Oh, she's going to be an example of submission, isn't she? She considers a field and buys it. Ah, like I said to someone Wednesday evening, that's not barefoot and pregnant, is it? That's not the old stay at home, do nothing, you can't think. Obviously, this is going to look different in different settings, different times, and even with different couples. Now, there must be some similarity for us to be obeying God's word. But each person is different. My fingerprints show that I'm different from any other person on the face of the earth. Wouldn't it stand to reason then that Judy and I would have a different relationship than what any other couple has? Very similar to some others, but it's going to look a little bit different, adapted to us. So what's your concept? Christian wives, what's your concept? Is this it? Reporting for marriage, sir. That's what that small print says. Love, honor, obey. He's the chief, you're the private first class. Is that your concept? I understand that 100 years ago in China, the woman was to walk 10 paces behind their husband to their face to the ground. If you try that today, people just think you've had a fuss. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, a woman was to wear a head covering, a veil to show her submission and show it to the angels. Wear it today and people think you're a Muslim. Doesn't communicate submission. What does it look like in your relationship? Well, I'm not a wife. Thank you. I hope you'd notice that. So I ask wives. I went around to a host of women, some small groups, some individuals. What does this look like in your relationship? I have our sisters speaking. I told some of them that they were going to preach today, and a couple of them volunteered to get up here. You'll have to preach through me. One said, he is my helpmate. That's what it means. Well, Sarah was created to be Adam's helpmate. Would it be logical then that that goes both ways? Another said, after we discuss hearing one another, emphasis there, I think, he has the final word. Okay, I like that one, don't you? Husband is to be the head of the wife as a teacher, not as a controller. And I think she wanted to drop back a little bit to last Sunday's sermon, not as a controller. I like the point, though. He's the head of the family as a teacher. I am to pick my battles. You like that one? I do. There have been some people. Let's tie it with the next one. Listen to him if his words are consistent with God's word. There have been some husbands who have actually asked their wives to do some things that are illegal. And beyond that, there are some times when a wife needs to speak up and say, dear, I think you're wrong. I think you've got the wrong attitude. I think you're going the wrong way. A good wife will do that for her husband. She'll do it softly. She won't yell at him. She won't repeat it 50. Okay. But she needs to pick her battles. This person went on to say, not everything is worth discussing. And I think of how Judy and I came to that conclusion several years ago. I'm telling a story and I'm talking about a point that we made with our children, and the people that we're talking to don't even know the children. And I'm telling about Chet. And actually, the event happened with our other son, Randy. And she could correct me. No, dear, it's... But what difference does it make? Not everything even has to be discussed, does it? Pick your battles. Well, let's get a new slide and a new set of these. I am to support him without complaining. I like both parts of that. Support him without complaining. All of you parents have seen kids who did what they were told, and they better, but they made you wish you hadn't even brought them into the conversation by the way they fussed and complained the whole time they were doing what you said to do. Wives, support without complaining. I trust his judgment. And if there's some wife out there right now who said, his judgment? I ask, why'd you marry him if you can't trust his judgment? It means letting him take the lead. And she went on to say, and I don't miss not having that lead. Next one. I'm not a doormat. I have a brain. I can speak. But I must not take over. And I told you last week, Judy should have been here, shouldn't she? I married a woman who can think. And I need that because I need some help in some of life's decisions. A lot. I got an amen on that. I don't know. Yes, amen that. And every husband does. Don't marry a doormat. That's not going to help you in life. And then the next one, I am to be unselfish. Sometimes I need to let some matters go. There's one more slide of these. This next one is a favorite of mine. I am to seek his good. And you can put the period there and get the thought. I'm to seek his good. But then she added, and he seeks mine. We both want what's best for the other. And then this woman added, a Christian wife will not mind being in submission to a man who is himself in submission to the Lord. The next one, it means cooperating and working together. And one more, it means I am to respect and honor my husband. I say that one to the last of these because that's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. Wives, respect your husbands. Now, I didn't go to every Christian wife here. I didn't have time, and you don't have time for me to quote 200 women. So let's fill in the blank. I'm asking every Christian wife here to deal with it. Submission for me in my relationship with my husband means fill in the blank. Let's pray about it. Dear Father, we give you our thanks for marriage. With all of its beauty, with all of its help, we give you our thanks for that plan. Now, Father, we ask for your blessings to be on Christian wives today. Please help them to come to a good understanding of what your word says. And on this difficult matter of submission, help them to have a practical application of it. And for husbands, wives, and single people, I pray that you'll help us to become more and more what you would have us be. And as we look at your will in any area, help us to be patient with ourselves, never demanding perfection, but always growing. Forgive us for our failures and help us. We pray through the name of Jesus. Amen. How difficult. Leaving the realm of wives particularly, or maybe looking at several others will help us to appreciate Christian wives and their assignment. How difficult is submission? I've already suggested to you it's not really our American culture. Me first is American culture today. How difficult is it to submit? Ah, it's school time. Ah, back to school, those horrible rules, those antiquated rules, the teachers, the administrators. How difficult. How difficult to submit. These kids thought it was a sermon for wives, picking on kids. How difficult is it to submit to parents? You know they're wrong. Everybody else is doing it. How difficult is it to submit and without complaining? How about to government? I don't like some of the decisions of our courts in recent years. I don't like some of the things that Congress has passed. There are some frightening things out there going on. Do I pick the laws I'm going to obey and the laws I don't like, I just don't obey? Or do I, as a Christian, do what Paul says in Romans 13 and submit? How about the elders? Let me tell you, I was studying in depth one time this passage in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 that says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit to them, for they watch in behalf of your souls as men that must give an account. I was studying the passage in depth and therefore studying it in the Greek, and I came to the sudden realization that the word that is translated obey there is not the same Greek word that's used in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents. Like it, lump it, whatever, obey it. That's not the word over here in Hebrews 13. Totally different word. And I thought, oh, relief, right? No, I'm going in the other direction. The word which is translated obey is used in the very next verse in a different voice of the verb. It's passive voice in verse 18. And in some translations it is, we are persuaded. Persuaded? Now go back to verse 17. It's in the middle voice. And I know you wanted this much grammar today, didn't you? In the middle voice, and I struggle with translating it. This is the way I would translate the middle voice on that word. You be open to be persuaded by those who have stood before you. Don't approach them with resistance. Don't approach them with, I'll obey, but I don't like. No, you be open to their persuasion. How difficult is that? You know more than the elders, don't you? How difficult is it? Then you come to wives. And you're smarter than your husbands, aren't you? There was something on television recently about a new study that says women are smarter than men. The study was done by women. How difficult? How difficult is submission? One more. The song we're about to sing says, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. Really? Do we sometimes approach the Lord saying, well, I give up here and here and here, but this little area over here is mine. All to Jesus I surrender. We focused in this brief series on marriage as a whole, the husband's role and the wife's role. I want to suggest that we are to be models. That includes single people. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. That's the point of every Christian. Live as Jesus in the world, in the home, always, wherever, live for the Lord. If it regards marriage and you want to pray about it, if it regards any other subject, you want to pray, we're going to have some elders at the back and some down front. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availed much in its working. And it doesn't have to be some heavy, dark thing. It could even be a point of rejoicing. Maybe every husband ought to go to those elders and say, help me thank God for our good wife. If you're ready to surrender your will and be baptized into Christ, you need to come to the front. And I pray that you mean it as we stand and sing all to Jesus.